Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs podcast, bringing you all the latest D-backs talk and tea from here across the pond in London. We're proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. I've got my English breakfast tea here as we're recording this early in the morning on this kind of cloudy Friday here in February. There's two pieces of news on the D-backs beat this week. The first, obviously, is that Geraldo Perdomo signs a four-year extension with the Diamondbacks, and that's perhaps unsurprisingly. We all know how valuable his presence in the infield and clubhouse is. So it's, you know, a good, shrewd move by Mike Hazen and co. There's been lots of people calling for him to receive the captaincy for the Diamondbacks going into this season. You know, he's a guy who kind of links that infield together really well. He's pretty much guaranteed to be our everyday shortstop. So I don't think there's any surprises there when it comes to getting Perdomo back in the lineup, getting him locked down for the next few years. You know, not exactly the most productive bat all the time. Doesn't really have that much power to speak of. However, he's very useful when it comes to going out there and, you know, not swinging at pitches, getting on base, doesn't really, you know, hit for, you know, doubles or triples that often, but draws a lot of walks and has basically like the, I think it's the top percentile when it comes to bunting in the major leagues. So yeah, shout out to Perdomo, the bunt king. A lot of people have said if there was a home run derby for bunting during the All-Star festivities, I think Perdomo would probably win that. So yeah, that's the first piece of news this week. The second piece of news is that as this episode is recording and releasing, the Diamondbacks are getting ready to play ball for the first time in 2025. And it'll be Corbin Burnes on the mound for just that one inning versus the Colorado Rockies at Salt River Field. So shout out to everybody who's lucky enough to be going out and enjoying the slightly warmer weather in Arizona, going out to Salt River Field to go and watch the Diamondbacks throw a baseball for the first time in 2025. It'll be sort of our first real look at the roster, you know, playing baseball in anger. And we will be reviewing the first week of spring ball next week when we look at the movers, shakers, and outside names who might be looking inwards at a chance of making the Diamondbacks 2025. Roster. But that is not the main talking point of this episode today. Today we're sitting down to discuss a rumor of massive proportions. We're talking about the man JD Martinez has dubbed the pitcher killer, the soon-to-be free agent on their way out of Toronto. We are talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Of course, he's a full-time all-star, son of a Hall of Famer, and he may be coming to the Diamondbacks. Where's that one come from? Well, the source for this is a story coming from CBS News' Matt Schneider, who has compiled a ranked list of teams that are potential landing spots for Vladdy following the news that he has rejected the Blue Jays' offer of an extension to his contract. On this list, the D-backs are ranked third. We're only behind the Yankees and then the Blue Jays as a return for Vladdy. So today in the episode, we're going to break down, you know, what are the circumstances that led to people putting us so high on the chase for a guy who might be about to go out into the free agent market and make $500 million? We're going to look at whether or not he'd be a good fit for the Diamondbacks, what he would bring to the table, of course, beyond, you know, being probably the face of the franchise or pretty close to it. Sorry, Cattell, sorry, Corbin, but, you know, neither of those guys have been on the cover of MLB The Show yet and doesn't look that likely to be happening in the future. I think it's Paul Skeens, Ellie Dela Cruz, and Gunnar Henderson on the cover of the game this year, as from what I've seen. So another year goes by, another completely wasted opportunity for San Diego Studio to go out and put Diamondback on the cover. I think you know, you could definitely make a case for Corbin Carroll to get that, especially if he has a good year that next year. We'll have to just see what MLB The Show 26 has in store. Anyway, let's get back on topic. Let's talk Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and those teams that are chasing him. So the Yankees and the Blue Jays, as well as us, are both definite possibilities. Toronto certainly have the cash in hand. He's sort of the homegrown star. He's the face of that franchise. They've been bidders and big bidders, and that for both Otani and Soto. And then the Yankees have the opportunity to sort of let Paul Goldschmidt walk at first base when his first year deal expires. He's only signed a 1 year deal, of course. He's getting up there in age. He's 37 now. We talked about whether or not Goldie would potentially make a return to the D-backs, but that's not looking very likely now. He's at the Yankees. But, you know, looking at that scenario, when it comes to, you know, there's a 1 year deal for a first baseman for New York and why they might, you know, seek to replace their first baseman with Vladdy. Very similar scenario is the case at the Diamondbacks. You know, Josh Naylor, who's a new arrival, and we haven't seen much of him in a Diamondbacks jersey yet. He's also only on a 1 year deal. So if he doesn't quite meet the expectations that we have for him coming in from Cleveland and being that big power hitter, obviously not quite as good defense as Christian Walker, but, you know, Christian Walker's a Gold Glover at defense when it comes to first base. If Josh Naylor doesn't quite hit the standard we're expecting of him, you know, he might be on his way out at the end of his 12-month contract. Now, the main sticking point here, any deal for Vladdy would be a pricey one. Naylor is on just under $11 million a year. It's $10.95 million a year. Whereas Vladdy is going to earn just shy of $30 million this year. And that was just on his one-year extension that he signed for this year. And many outlets are going to be reporting that the soon-to-be 26-year-old could be looking at, you know, Juan Soto money. And, you know, it would certainly be justified in the eyes of many. If you look at his numbers last year, Vladdy hit .323, .396, .544 with 30 home runs, 103 RBIs. And this is at Rogers Center as the home stand as well, which, you know, isn't always a super hitter-friendly park. And if we go and consider how Vladdy may perform in, you know, desert altitude, for example, I know Chase Field isn't quite as hitter-friendly these days as it has been in recent years, but things could start to look very different. Chase Field ranks as a 101 park factor on Baseball Savant, with Rogers Center ranking anywhere from 100 to 96, depending on where you look and when. And the last time Vladdy played at Chase Field, he was 2-for-5 with a double, a homer, an RBI, and he didn't strike out. I think that's probably what you call worth the dough. And then, of course, dough is maybe the main sticking point, main hurdle to overcome if we want to see him in the desert next year. Vladdy has confirmed that the Blue Jays' offer of $340 million was nowhere close to the number he was sort of looking for. And we don't know quite how many years that is either. But this is also a pre-Soto signing figure. All these discussions initially were happening before the Mets went and spent the GDP of several small countries on Juan Soto. So, you know, the sky may no longer be the limit when it comes to just how much money we're going to have to offer Vladimir Guerrero Jr., or any team for that matter, are going to have to offer him in order to entice him to sign with their team. The D-backs, however, have shown that, you know, we're not afraid to be a big spender to shatter all expectations. I think very, very few people saw the Corbin Burnes deal coming, and especially in the way that it did, with, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars going in there for, you know, he was the best free agent pitcher on the market, and we went and we blew that market wide open to get him. However, there were several outside factors involved there, you know, other circumstances where Corbin Burnes, you know, he wanted to stay in Scottsdale. You know, he liked the tax incentives. He liked the fact that, you know, he's just had two more kids. His wife gave birth to twins, and he wanted to, you know, be around a lot more because he already lives in Arizona for most of the offseason. That's where he has a house. Whereas, you know, if you look at Vladdy and what he said in the press, he said he prefers to spend his whole career in Toronto. He's homegrown. He came through their system. He's the face of that franchise. And sorry, Bo Bichette, but it's true. So with things as political as well as they are right now between, you know, Canada and the United States, I don't blame him for wanting to stay north of the border, regardless of tariffs or anything else. He makes enough money. He doesn't have to worry too much about, you know, how much the price of eggs is. He wants to stay somewhere where he's going to feel welcome. He's going to feel, you know, comfortable. And yeah, I don't blame him for that. So we have to beat any other financial incentive, and we also have to develop the D-backs environment into a far more enticing one. And I think that's potentially where the history might be a bit more on our side. We're looking very strong when it comes to, you know, the roster and the strength and the depth going into 2025. And, you know, the acquisition of Corbin Burnes, Josh Naylor, looking at, you know, the arrivals of some useful bullpen arms is starting to fall in place now. It's got a fully fit Ketel Marte. Corbin Carroll's here. We've got the great battle for center fielder with Jake McCarthy versus Alec Thomas. Lourdes Gurriel is always a reliable left fielder. Our infield's looking pretty solid now. Perdomo's locked down to a new deal. There's hope that, you know, Gino Suarez can have a really strong year and not get off to such a cold start like he did in 2024. So this team is looking pretty good when it comes to our outlook for 2025. And if you compare that with, you know, our playoff potential versus the Blue Jays postseason record, it's pretty damning, I'm afraid, to the Toronto team, even compared to, you know, us. And we're not exactly the best in the postseason historically. You know, we've got a few pennants to our name, that run to the World Series before you narrowly missed out on the postseason last year, despite having the best offense in baseball. The Blue Jays, on the other hand, they lost one a postseason game in 2016. And you think about that, like, even when they've made the postseason three more times since 2016. They've been swept in the AL wildcard series every single time. And that's pretty rough. And I know they're a franchise that, you know, they've had some really solid players. Like, you look at the likes of, you know, historically they've had George Springer, you know, in center fielder. He's somebody who's gone on to, you know, be part of an Astros World Series roster. Vladdy and Bo Bichette are both pretty awesome guys. You had some elite international arms, you know, Hyunjin Ryu was one of the aces up there. And the fact that they couldn't go and deliver, you know, at least a couple of postseason wins in the last 10 years with those kinds of names, that kind of money that they are spending, that's got to be disappointing if you're a Blue Jays fan. So if you look at their roster, Bo Bichette is also entering free agency next year. So maybe it'll be time for them to, you know, bite that bullet, swallow the medicine and say, yeah, you know, our two big spending free agent stars, let them walk, start the rebuild, start looking at, you know, more to the future instead of trying to get that immediate satisfaction and fighting a losing battle trying to keep your big earners in the house. And that leaves us to battle out only with the Yankees. And, you know, when you go side-by-side comparisons, who is going to want an all-star first baseman more, the D-backs or the Yankees? I think it has to be the D-backs. I fancy us in that fight. Looking at their depth chart, the Yankees have Goldie, of course, who we talked about as potentially coming back to the Diamondbacks in this offseason. He signed a one-year deal. But then they also have Cody Bellinger, DJ LeMahieu, Osvaldo Cabrera, and Ben Rice on their 40-man roster. And all of those guys can play first base, and I reckon if you ask Jazz Chisholm, he'd probably be fine to do that too, although his defense might leave something to be desired. So, yeah, this is not even like looking at their prospect system yet. And then compare that side by side with the Diamondbacks' depth chart at first base. Right now, Josh Naylor, who's maybe going to walk at the end of this year as he enters free agency, leaving only Pavin Smith, who, you know, can play first base, but I think most people are expecting to not see very much of him this year if it's not in the DH platoon. And then the as yet untested Ivan Melendez, friend of the podcast, who, you know, he's looking to make the jump to AAA this year. To throw him in at the deep end starter next year and say, yep, you're a first baseman now, I think that would be a bit of a stretch. So going into 2026 and what the depth chart might look like, you know, if you go over to Mike Hayes and you say to Ken Kendrick, hey, we're going to need, you know, a few hundred million and we can get potentially the best first baseman in baseball, one of the faces of the game internationally, let alone the faces of the team internationally. Who says no into that? You know, we can spend big when we want to, and if Vladdy wants to be the undisputed first baseman where no one's going to get close to him, the D-backs are the team to go to. It's you don't want to be, you know, scrapping with, you know, four or five other guys for that starting spot that he might be at the Yankees, especially if his form in 2025 isn't as good as, you know, it has been in recent years. You know, I really, really like those odds when it comes to, you know, who we might be competing with. And I know that projecting the 2026 hot stove might be unrealistic when, you know, a pitch is yet to be thrown in 2025 as I record this. But, you know, we're nothing if not optimistic on this show. So, you know, we'll sort of just have to wait and see. But when that story sort of broke 2 days ago, and I was sitting writing, you know, my notes of what I was going to talk about on this podcast, I was like, okay, well, am I going to predict what kind of year Geraldo Perdomo has? Am I going to look at, you know, who's likely to start on opening day, Zach Gallen or Corbin Burns? That's a decision Torrey Lovello has to make. And I thought, you know, no, we've talked about pitching enough. Everyone knows how much I love Geraldo Perdomo. If there's a wild rumor to talk about, let's go and talk about that wild rumor instead. And, you know, I know that all things considered, you know, Vladdy may end up, you know, either re-signing with Toronto. He may end up going to the Dodgers like every other exciting free agent we've seen in the last few years has done. You know, the Dodgers have that international market. They've kind of cornered that for the most part. I don't see too many other teams who could realistically compete. Some people have said, you know, maybe he goes to the Angels for that, you know, historic link up given his father's history with Anaheim as well. But, you know, Vladdy's a guy who's not really had a chance to make much of an impact in a postseason yet. He's somebody who, given how impressive of a hitter he is, he has great power. His defense is solid. You know, obviously he's a bigger guy, so he's not the fastest, but his contact is good. The way he spots the ball is good. He doesn't swing and miss a huge amount compared to other guys who, you know, pride themselves on being sluggers. So, yeah, if you say to him, you know, here's a team that's been built for the future. You know, Corbin Burns is on a multi-year deal. We could go and renew, you know, several previous All-Stars. We've got Ketel Marte. We've got Corbin Carroll. We've got, you know, Geraldo Perdomo as a leader on the field. And then plenty of talent in the system coming up, especially when it comes to young pitchers. But you look at, you know, what's going to happen to our outfield if, you know, Lourdes Gurriel enters free agency and we trade away one of Alec Thomas or Jake McCarthy or potentially both of them. You have, you know, guys like Slade Caldwell, Drew Jones, Jordan Lawler in the system. And you think these are guys who've got an incredible level of talent, especially, you know, when it comes to getting on base and, you know, running the bases. Caldwell, Lawler, Drew Jones all have pretty solid speed if you look at their stats. So if you say to Vladdy, you know, ignoring the likes of Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte hitting ahead of him, if you say to Vladdy, yeah, you know, that cleanup spot, you know, that number four spot is yours. Go out and drive in some runs, go hit some homers, do some damage with, you know, the likes of Corbin Carroll on base. That's got to be a pretty enticing thing for a hitter who knows he has good averages, who knows they have good productivity. I don't see too many guys in Toronto who might be, you know, jumping onto the roster this year and just getting ahead of him in the batting order. You know, Vladdy's hit, you know, a combination of second, third, and fourth in their order quite a lot, with, you know, Bo Bichette often being the leadoff guy, given that he's, you know, he's the shortstop, he's got a solid speed. So when it comes to, you know, the potential to maybe pad some stats a little bit, especially, you know, facing Colorado a lot more than he does right now in Toronto a few times a year, this is really Vladdy's opportunity to, you know, do something bigger with his career. Toronto obviously is a huge market team, and I have plenty of respect for them and their fans. And, you know, I like the idea that we are keeping a Major League Baseball presence in Canada. Obviously, the Montreal Expos historically were that before it was the Blue Jays. But I think when it comes to giving Vladdy the platform to go and realize his potential compete for some pennants, compete for, fingers crossed, maybe a ring or two. I don't see them being able to offer the same kind of competitive field that the D-backs can, especially the D-backs when you look at what the next 2, 3, 4 years may hold. And the best way to demonstrate that, of course, would be to go and have a good year in 2025. And that's what we're going to be projecting and talking about in the next episode. So we're going to wrap it up there. I want to say thank you very much to everyone for listening. I'd also like to say thank you to our partner organization, Home Run Travel, who operates the best baseball tours from over here in the UK, heading over a couple of times a year, 3 times a year, to the USA, West Coast, East Coast, All-Star Game, no matter what game you want to see. If you're listening either in the UK or somewhere in America and you just need some help with your travel plans, get in touch at Home Run Travel on social media or go to their website, www.homerunstylers.com, and they will sort you out. And of course, when it comes to getting online, going on social media, please make sure you follow the show at TBAX Podcast on X and Insta. We are also at TBAX on TikTok, and you can follow me on X as well at GB_Diamondback. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.